Hello, readers! My name is Colton Fisher. I am the author of Star Siren in this anthology of fairy tales, folklore, and fables. I'm taking some time to talk about the process of writing Star Siren, of how I got the idea, of what I wanted to include in the story, the ideas that I wanted to explore, and without further ado, I mentioned this in my behind-the-scenes essay that I wrote for the story in the anthology. The very first kernel of an idea for the story came in a very roundabout way from a custom character class that I made for D&D for a friend of mine. We were about to begin a sci-fi campaign, and the core mechanic of that class featured these star tales, where every few levels you would learn a new star tale, or you would be able to use one of these star tales that you knew, and they had names like Comet Spirits, The Living Planet, and Sirens of the Nebula. And I envisioned these sirens as I was making this class and coming up with fun, cool names that I thought kind of fit the mythology of sailing that this class was kind of based on. And I pictured those Sirens of the Nebula as some scientifically explainable phenomenon that caused a signal that, when heard by machines, caused their navigation to go haywire, and when heard by thinking people, things with brains, also caused them to go haywire in the same way that the Greek sirens did. And when this anthology was pitched to me and I was beginning to think of ways I could take fairy tales and fables and folklore and twist it, that this was already top of mind. This idea of a bit of very, very old folklore about the dangers of the sea that we once explored being translated into a new and futuristic danger of exploring the seas of stars. So I had a concept, but having a cool concept does not a story make. And I started penning out drafts of ideas of what this could look like. I knew I wanted not quite horror, but that building feeling of realizing something's not quite right on the reader's part, along with showing the furthering effect of the siren on our main character, as you see the changes in his personality, as you see the changes in his narration, and you begin to realize that he's doomed, because this is a retelling of the siren story, which is not necessarily a cautionary tale per se. But it is still a cautionary tale of the dangers of the unknown, of how you can be lost at sea. And so I had this idea of a cautionary tale of sorts of what can happen when you listen to the nebula. Now, initially, that old adage, don't listen to the nebula, all of these rules about staying on the rig were because of just that. When people hear the siren, if they have control of the ship, they steer it away, and then thousands of people lose their lives. If it's just an individual, they try and jump ship and lose their own lives. And I didn't have any kind of, you know, corporate malevolence involved initially. It was just good advice. Here's all of the reasons why the rig is unusual, why there are rules that don't seem to make sense, why they're not like other ships. And I wanted that mystique to be present in the beginning. I wanted to show that the rules that were in place hinted at a reason for them, because they didn't quite make sense on their own. Why don't we have a central navigation system? Why can't we open our antenna, so to speak, to all signals outside of this one heavily monitored and secured communications hub? And by the end of the story, the answer comes. But then I had the thought, well, if there's this danger and it can't be fixed because a nebula's huge, you can't go in and find the source and hunt down the sirens, or if they've tried, they fail. But why are people still being sent into this danger? The answer is obviously the reward is worth the cost. Whether that's the resources gained are worth the risk of life, or, as it turned out in the final version of the story, from a more greed-focused corporate perspective. We'll have these safety rails in place. We'll try and keep as many people alive as possible. But at the end of the day, it's still fiscally worth sending these people into a risky area and not telling them about the risk in order to harvest your resource. That, I think, is more a product of the time in which this author has grown up, working its way into the story, than anything inherent to the nature of the Siren story itself. Now, that being said, I think there is one aspect of the Siren myth that came into the story really nicely. When I started writing, I had no preconceived notions of what Nick's personality would be like. He formed on the page as I was writing, and his archetype fits a lot of characters who I like to write, namely, young, exploring the world for the first time, just reaching that stage of adulthood where they're becoming fully their own person, but still liable to make mistakes. And he just fit the story concept that I was going for so perfectly, because he wasn't inherently reckless, he wasn't even trying to be rebellious, he was just curious, and like Odysseus, wanting to hear the siren song and being so desperately curious that he had his crew stop their ears with wax and tie himself to the mast so that he could finally sate his curiosity with potentially disastrous consequences, Nick was the same. He was curious even without knowing about the signal and the sirens, but then his curiosity led him to hearing the signal. And from there, he was doomed. His curiosity and the siren signal together kept eating at him, kept pushing him, until finally we reach the end of the story where he gives in and he sets off toward the sirens. And who knows?